There was probably one announcement I forgot to make earlier. After the service today, there are going to be cupcakes and for Don's birthday in the back and coffee, and everybody's welcome to stay and have do that. And Don shaking his head, yes. Well, just before I get started, I guess this is a message that the Lord has given me a few months back, and I've been kind of waiting for an opportunity to share it. And thank the Lord that I got the opportunity today. But it's dealing with the Ten Commandments. And you all know that if anybody here can remember when they were taken out of schools. The nearest I can go back is 1963, but I don't know if it's more than that or not.
No, I think it was in the
60s. Okay. But the thing that's over the years that's happened is that through all this year, people don't see the Ten Commandments hanging around. They don't study the Ten Commandments. And they're very important. I was just totally amazed when I got into the Word and was looking it up, how many times that is brought forth in the Gospels that keep my commandments. Keep my commandments, he keeps saying. And I believe that if it wasn't that important, he would not say it that often. But we need to have guidance. We need to know the rights from the wrongs. If we don't have that, we don't know. I know. I guess I just draw the hat. One thing is that if you're watching TV, how many times do you see somebody snuffed out of their life in a show? What's that telling our children? What's that telling people that this is everyday occurrence? This is something that's okay? I don't believe so. I don't think that. I mean, the show says it's okay, but in God's word it says it's not okay. I'm going to start this morning in Matthew 5. In verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who persecute you, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you then, they that vile the persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be excitingly glad, and great in rewards in heaven, for they will persecute the prophets and whom were there for you. Drop down to 17. Do not think that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, heaven and earth will pass away, not one jot or tittle will by means be passed from the law till I come, or until the law is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I wonder, I guess at this point, first I want to give glory to the Lord. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're using me this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that every word I brought forth will be from your heart, Lord. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that those words will be received on open heart and received gladly, planted upon good ground in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do this in your name, in Jesus' name. Okay, now we're going to turn over to Exodus 20. What did the Beatitudes have to do with the gospel or with the Ten Commandments? There was so much when I studied this that it was hard for me to put it together. And I have I didn't even attempt to put it all together because I knew I couldn't bring it out the way that he wants it brought out. So we're going to start with the first commandment. I am the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And you will have no other gods before me. And I guess when he's talking about he brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, at one time in our lives, we've all been there. We maybe haven't been in Egypt, but we've been in bondage. But it was his grace and kindness that he saw that we should be enter out of that into his glory. So he says, I am the God. He's, in other words, he's telling them, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Number two, you shall not make yourself a graven image of any likeness, anything is it that is in heaven and above, that is in the earth below, and in the water underneath. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God. Visit the iniquity of your fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. I guess coming back to that, he says, I'm a jealous God. I don't want you to have any other gods before me. Now, I know sometimes the question we think about is what are gods in our life? We think of gods as somebody out yonder, but I think if we think about it, there may be little gods in our lives that we worship. Things that are very dear to us that would be hard for us to give up. I think Pastor spoke on that last Sunday. Giving up things. I think it would be really hard to say, Lord, I love my snow cat more than I love you. I love my rifle more than I love you. I love my home more than I love you. Personal possessions can be gods in our lives. Now, I'm not telling you how to deal with that. I'm just bringing it forth. So if the Lord speaks to your heart, how you deal with those things in your life, so that he becomes the number one Savior, the number one person in your life. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many times have you been maybe walking down the street or in a store or whatever, and you hear somebody blab out his name in vain? That's a very hard thing. He said they will not go on punished. So I guess that another thing that, you know, we have to be very careful. When we wake up in the morning, our prayer should be, Lord, just keep us clean today. Keep our mouth on you, praising you and keeping your glory rather than on the things of the earth that are going to pass away. And this is probably the one that's most hard to talk about. Keep holy the Sabbath. In our society today, we have stores open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I guess in North Dakota, the law is that they can't be open from midnight to noon on Sunday. But there are still a lot of other things that are out there that maybe we do that are not so important. He said, keep my day holy before you. Now, I know we probably think, well, how can that be done? We got to go home. We got to make dinner. We got to do this. We got to go to, you know, it's do all these things. But he still wants to keep his day holy. I guess, no, I'm sorry. I won't go there. Now, and then the other thing, when you study out the Ten Commandments, you find out that the first four commandments are to honor God. And the others are, to, as a guideline, what to do and what not to do and things like that. The thing that I found interesting was that, you know, I have people say, well, the Old Testament Ten Commandments doesn't go with us today. That's in the Old Testament. But if we seek out the scriptures in Matthew, you'll see that it is for today. The Lord just summed it up in two commandments. He says, love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength. But I guess I got mine in there, okay. And love the neighbor as yourself, the second one. Now, if you study that out or look at it, that covers the whole Ten Commandments. So, if we can't hang the Ten Commandments on our wall, maybe we can hang the two on our wall. In public places. And then the fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. And boy, I tell you, do I see it more in later years, the lack of respect for children and their parents. I'm not going to say who's at fault or anything like that, but I just say that is so sad. Because if they knew the Ten Commandments and were taught them, and they would see that there's a promise with that, the Ten Commandments. The Lord said, if you love your father and your mother, life will be long for you on earth. That's a promise. I see and hear people sometimes say, just put them in a nursing home. Forget about them. We'll go visit them now and then. But he says, honor your father and your mother. Then it says, thou shalt not murder. Now, when we, that said, we all think about murder as walking up and killing someone. But Scripture says that if you hate your brother, you as much as murdered him. So, a lot of times you hear of families having trouble with one another or over some little thing, not even hardly worth talking about, how they just feel that they hate their brother or sister because of what they did. That's falls under this commandment here, do not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And right away I know that I'm guilty. We all think about somebody else running off with somebody else or whatever the case is. But if you search all Scripture, it says that adultery is, even if you look at a woman or man lustfully, you've committed adultery. Thou shalt not steal. I think we have a real epidemic going right now with, seems like everybody's property belongs to everybody. You hear it on the news, you hear it talking with people, whatnot. We have to say that that's wrong. That's not right. That's something we have to do away with. We don't need to borrow somebody else's stuff to satisfy our life. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Against your neighbor. Okay, we can carry that a long ways. We can get on this a real subject that it goes back to gossip, rumors. That's bearing false witness against your neighbors. Or your friends, or whoever. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house, or thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, maidservant, or his ox, or his donkey, nor shall that your neighbor's, or nothing that is your neighbor's. Well, that's one of those that the neighbor has what he has and it's not yours. You don't cover that and say, well, I wish I had that. I really don't know if I'm giving the right explanation to all this, but I just believe that if you study it out, you'll know that this is the word. I guess that's all that I have for the Ten Commandments this morning, and I would welcome anybody that has a question or don't understand something. You're welcome to ask a question. You're welcome to express your opinion. I guess I had a few scriptures just to, you don't have to read or go there, but you can write them down and look them up. But it just was in Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Let's see what that one says. I guess I already read them. But Matthew 17, 18, Psalms 89, 31 through 34, and John 8, 31 through 36. And basically what he's saying here is that he's keep your commandments. Keep the commandments. As I brought up earlier, that I feel that a lot of times we don't think that it's very important. But it is important. But I ask you today to meditate upon the Ten Commandments and think about them. Think about the things they say. Think about what your answer could be, what it is. Because I know that if we don't keep the Ten Commandments, we're sinning. Sin does not go with God. We look back when Moses went and got the Ten Commandments off the mountain, God gave it to him on tablets. And now I'm going to do a little paraphrasing because I'm not good word for word how it goes. But he gave it to him on tablets. When he came down from the mountain, what did he find? Here, he wasn't even gone very long. And they've already built themselves an image, a golden image for an idol, which is against what God wants. Well, Moses was angry, or God was angry, and Moses was upset also, but God wanted to destroy them right then and there. But Moses said no. He said he interceded for these people. And the people said, Moses, you talk to us, because if we go talk to God, he's going to kill us. So that's pretty harsh thinking when you think of that. I mean, would we have that fear today, the knowing that we were not keeping his commandments, fearing that we could be snuffed out just like that? I'm not trying to give you fear of that. I fear God, because he's the one that we should fear. Not as a discipline type thing with like your father would have had to you or whatever the case is, but a fear of not keeping his promises, a fear of not doing what he commands us to do. It looks like we're going to have a lot of time here to have cupcakes and coffee. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you today. I just thank you that your word was brought forth. I just thank you that you guided me to speak the words for you, the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that they were received upon the fertile soil in Jesus' name. Amen.